Hey everyone, good afternoon. It's great to see everybody again. And may mga mag-audit daw eh, so may mga bibisita ulit eh, so na-stress naman ako. Anyway, Pastor Paul can't be with us this afternoon. I think he's resting from his, he just came back from a trip, so he's recovering. Okay, pray for him. He would like to be a much younger man, you know, so... no, but you know, to be honest, having traveled a bit recently, it's tiring coming back and forth with just different trips. I do not know how June Escazar does it. June Escazar is amazing. So if you know people who travel regularly, just encourage them because it's not as fun as it sounds. Okay, so that said, again, June Escazar, he will come from a trip, land, drop his bag, pack another one, next day, fly to another place. So I'm like, man, how do you do that? Okay, ibang klase. Anyway, I was asked today to help talk to you about two topics in particular, meeting management and project management. Okay, and they gave me the afternoon slot, which is fantastic for these topics. Okay, so it's the best time to talk about these things. So I chose this picture on purpose. Okay, so that said, I do want to try to make some time to talk about something different at the end. I was talking with Pastor Sky, and he bounced it off with Bishop Jure, and they think it's a good opportunity for us to talk about this. I've never actually taught what I'm hoping to be able to teach at the end in a class before. So you're probably going to be the first ones to hear the concepts. So I don't know if we'll be able to make the time for it, okay? Because the content of what we currently have is already significant. But hopefully, we will have time. If everything runs according to plan, then we'll be able to spend at least... you know, a good chunk of the last hour, hopefully on a new topic outside of that. Okay, I won't announce it na muna, but walang expectation for exactly what the topic will be. So if wala, hindi, okay na tayo with the two topics that we did say. All right, kasi marami na naman yun. Okay, so let me begin with meetings. Managing meetings. There's a book that came out, Patrick Lencioni, called Death by Meeting. Okay, I don't know how many of you have read that book. Okay, the model that Death by Meeting presents a particular style and approach to running meetings. Okay, I'm neither completely for nor against the teachings on that book. I thought it was very interesting. That was the book that actually helped me to start thinking about that already. Okay, I am here today not as an expert on running meetings, more as a fellow learner. Okay, I am just like you. I'm sure you've all been in meetings at one point or another where you're thinking, why am I in this meeting? Okay, and then you're looking at the person leading the meeting and thinking, man, I hope he does a better job next time of leading this meeting. Okay, I used to think that way, and I used to be very critical of the people leading the meetings that I would normally be part of until I started leading my own meetings. And then one day, I was leading my own meeting, and I watched one of the people in my meeting kind of pretend to not yawn, but hindi niya nakaya, so he was yawning, and parang... And then nahuli ko, tignan ko, and then I realized, oh no, I've turned into the person that I said I didn't want to be. Okay, and so now I am running the meetings that I said, I wish I didn't have to be in this meeting. And now that was me. Okay, and so I'm like, okay, Lord help. Okay, I don't want to bore my staff, and I definitely know that the meetings that we have are important. Okay, so the question now is, how do we improve our meetings? And so that's what got me on this journey, and what I'm presenting to you are synthesized concepts of the most important principles I've studied through various resources, synthesized for our purposes. Okay, and these are the ones I keep in mind now when I plan and run the meetings that I have. And I've tried to train my staff to do the same thing. Okay, so how many of you here, you're the one who is responsible for leading meetings in your side of the world? Can I see? All right, great. I expect all of you, okay, because it's senior pastors. So hopefully this will be very helpful for you. Okay, here we go. Meetings. Let me give you a few stats to get this going. First, here, these are U.S. numbers, okay, so there are no stats like this for the Philippines. Unfortunately, I couldn't find any. 25 million, the amount of meetings that take place in... Oh, sorry. happened.
Sorry.
I moved it. There. 25 million. The amount of meetings that take place in corporate America daily. Okay. 47%. The percentage of workers, staff, people who cite too many meetings as the number one time waster that they have in the office. It's what keeps them from doing their job. Imagine that. I wonder if we were to ask your staff how they would feel. Next, 2 hours, 39 minutes. That's the average time one employee wastes in meetings every week. Okay, not the amount of time that they're actually in meetings. To them, this is the amount of time that's wasted. To them, in a meeting, that's useless. Per week. Okay? 11 minutes, the average amount of time it takes for people's attention to drift in a meeting. Okay, so I know that. I understand that that's kind of true, which means in 5 minutes from now, all of you will have the weird opportunity. It's like there's a temptation to look at your phone and to try to do something silly just to get your mind. You're going to start doodling. That's normal. All of us experience that. Okay, so things to keep in mind as we run meetings. Now, a very wise man said, a meeting is an event where minutes are taken and hours are wasted. Okay? So another person said, purgatory is a meeting that goes off on a tangent. Hell is a meeting that ends there. Okay? So we're supposed to talk about this. Somebody brought up another topic. The meeting ended. We never actually got back to our topic. Okay? So something for us to think about. I hope none of you have immediate memories of a recent experience just like that. Okay? The truth is, unproductive meetings are very costly. There is a lot of cost involved when you have a meeting. Let's just do the numbers very quickly. Assuming you have 10 staff, and just for easy math, each staff member, you know, you pay them, let's say, you know, 10,000 pesos per month. If you were to break that salary up, 40-hour work week times 4, then you can get their hourly rate. Diba? You bring them into a 3-hour staff meeting, which is unproductive. 10 staff, 3 hours. Okay? You multiply whatever their hourly rate is. Okay? Times 3 hours. That's per staff. Times 10, because there's 10 staff. Okay? That's how much that meeting cost in terms of salaries only. Not to mention venue cost, coffee, whatever snacks you fed them, okay? The logistics it needed to run the actual meeting. Not to mention the opportunity cost. What could they have done for the organization to move the mission forward while they were in your meeting? Unproductive meetings are very costly. It is very costly. Okay? So we need to understand that, okay? Which is why we are talking about this topic right now, okay? Meetings matter because that's where an organization's culture perpetuates itself. We talk about developing culture. We talk about a leader's primary job is to create and cultivate culture. Well, this person says that the way you actually create culture is in your meetings. In fact, it's such an important thing that IBM CEO at the time, okay, would be the one, he would spend time out of his year to go and personally train all entry-level supervisors of IBM on how to lead meetings. He felt it was his responsibility to make sure every entry-level supervisor knew how to run meetings well. And it was worth the CEO's time to do it. That's how big a deal they saw meetings were. Okay, meetings are how an organization says, you're a member. Okay, come, join us, be part of this activity, be part of this event. So if every day we go to boring meetings full of boring people, we cannot help but think that this is a boring company. Which is the furthest from the truth as it relates to us and what we do. I mean, we have the privilege to wake up and do what we do every day. Okay, how many of you know you will do this whether you're paid or not? I mean, we were all full-time volunteers once upon a time. right? So think about that. Think about the people you lead, okay? Is it possible they think of our organization really mainly based on the culture of the meetings you currently run? Okay? Bad meetings are a source of negative messages about our company and ourselves. You know, one of the hidden costs of bad, unproductive meetings is the morale cost. How is it whittling down the excitement, the morale of your staff? Do they have to go to God for encouragement every day because it's your meetings that drain them of that encouragement every day? You know, it's something to think about. Are they needing to just, you know, David found strength in God. You know, parang they use that verse and go, yes, I find strength in God because God helped me. I need strength for this meeting. Okay, so you have to think about that. Okay? So, how do you make meetings matter? To simplify the way we think about it, and I'm presenting this to us because we're the ones who lead these meetings, I'll propose it as three questions. Okay, here are three questions to help make your meetings matter. First question is, why are we meeting? Second, what is my part? And third, who will do what by when? Let's break it down. First, why are we meeting? Okay? So, let me break this idea down into three thoughts. First one's the question why. It's a question of purpose. Okay? So this comic says, we are having this meeting to explore ways to reduce the number of meetings that we have. Okay, so as funny as that is, the truth is that their meeting has a clear purpose. They know why they're meeting. Okay, the question is, why are you meeting? Okay, before calling a meeting, ask whether the purpose of the meeting might be fulfilled in other ways. If it can be fulfilled in other ways, don't call the meeting. Okay? If it can be done by one phone call to one person, you don't need four other people listening. You don't need a room booked. Yeah, you don't need coffee bought. Or it can be done by one conversation with one person. Okay? The best reason to have a meeting is that you really need the interaction between the people who you're inviting around the table for that meeting. You need them to interact. If it's just transfer of information, that can be done in other ways. It does not have to be a meeting. If you're just announcing something, guys, dito na tayo kakain ha, hindi na doon. That does not have to be a meeting. Okay? So always remember, clarify purpose. And to help you clarify purpose, there are three things. Okay? First, the question of objective. I mean, in preaching, we have what we call the outcome-based objective. At the end of this preaching series, we will have accomplished this. Diba? Beginning with the end in mind. Same thing with your meeting. We're going to set 2 hours to talk about this topic. Okay, fine. But what are you trying to get done? By the time the 2 hours are up, what would we have accomplished? Just talk? Maybe you're trying to decide on a venue for a couples retreat. So then state it. By the time the 2-hour meeting will be done, we would have evaluated the 3 options that our staff went on ocular for, considered each one, cost, and everything involved. But by the time the 2-hour meeting is done, we will have decided on a venue for our couples retreat. There needs to be an objective. Kailangan by the time the time is done, the objective is met. Okay, the next one is value. What is at stake? And this is really critical, especially if you are the leader. You need to be able to articulate very clearly why it's important for this meeting to happen. This meeting is crucial. Why? Because if we do not have this meeting, this will happen. If we do this meeting right, we will be able to set this up for success. You need to be able to put those into words. If you cannot put that into words, you will not be able to cascade that to the members. You will not be able to begin the meeting and say, all right, guys, I'm so glad everybody's here. The reason we're all here today is for this. Okay, so here, why are we here? Why are you spending money every so often to come back here for staff development? Okay, the reason this meeting is so important, and the reason it's worth all of your time, the reason you all came in ahead of the 1 o'clock time slot is because you have value for this meeting. Once in a while, you're going to forget why it is because, you know, as Heibel said, vision leaks. And every so often, you have to remind them why it matters, why it's important. If you cannot articulate that for your meeting, they, you know, if you don't know it, they probably will never understand it. We should never expect our members to be the ones to carry the banner for why it's important. One of our main jobs, you know, we're the chief redundancy officer. Our main jobs are to be redundant on why. We're the ones who carry the banner of the mission. We're the ones who carry the big why. That's our job. And if we cannot articulate that, most probably the people in your meeting are bored because they don't know why. They do want to throw their lives into something meaningful, something important, something that changed the world. But in order for that to happen, you need to tell them, this is how it will change the world. Okay? And finally, agenda. What items are we tackling in this meeting? Okay? If you read the book Death by Meeting, it recommends a way to go about creating agenda. And you're going to realize that may work in your context, that may not work in your context. It depends. Okay? The Death by Meeting is presented to an executive team who knows what their deliverables are. Does that make sense? They know what they should be doing. So the idea of death by meeting is in a group of people who already know what they're supposed to be doing, why meet? Why hold an executive meeting of multiple departments? That's the framework of the death by meeting model. May not be the framework that you deal with every time you sit down with your staff. Which means they don't have a form that most corporations assume exists. We're non-profit, meaning one person probably does 3 or 4 different jobs because that's what we can afford. So we need to set agenda so the finance officer, who also happens to be the kids' church admin, knows if the agenda today is finance or kids' church. Diba? So you need to have an agenda. Here's what we're going to be talking about today. Okay, the opening 5 to 7 minutes in any meeting is the most important because it is a place where you establish why, you establish what we're trying to do, and you establish how we're going to do it. Okay? Normally, that's your job as a leader. All right, guys. All right, we'll start the meeting now, all right? All right, great. I'm so glad everybody's here. I am so excited. We're going to be talking about, let's say, for example, Ignite. We're planning Ignite. I'm so excited. We're about to talk about how to engage 14,000 young people and get them so captured with the idea that they can change the campus and change the world. Okay, every single one of us here have a part to play to make that happen. Okay, once upon a time, you and I were students, and we heard the idea that God can use us. God has a plan and a purpose for us. That changed our world. That redirected our destinies. We're about to do that to 14,000 students this coming June. That's why it's going to give you, that is worth the sleepless hours we're about to do. That is worth all these plannings we're about to make. That's your job on the very beginning of the meeting to set that tone. Okay, this is going to be the general meeting. It's going to be the different from the different team meetings that we're going to do. So I expect by the time we're done in this meeting, every one of us will have clear roles. We'll know who's doing what. We'll know how to do it. We'll agree on regular coordination times. And after that, we'll break. Clear? All right, good. Then you run your meeting. You follow the agenda you set. But you need to have that on the front. It's one of the most important things you need to do. That's how you set the table. It's like eating. In order for you to eat as a family, right? For it to be a good family experience, you set the table, right? Your job as a leader is to set the table. These 3 questions will help you have all the things you need to say to set the table right. Jason, yeah. You want the mic? Para it goes onto the rec- no?
Of course, every week we have meetings and operational meeting na do we need to, na lagi naman natin ginagawa every week, kailangan pa rin ba ng agenda since pag-uusapan naman is about the service, something like that. So how does it apply to every week meeting, every week's
meeting? It's a great question. You probably need to set the agenda first initially in the beginning. I would recommend evaluating it quarterly kasi the situations change even though the basic topics are the same. And the truth is, people need newness. Because routine, we all want routine. But once in a while, variety is a spice of life. And it benefits when, okay, you know, we're going to go through the reports, but later we're going to talk about this. Does that make sense? So they're clear. There's something new on the agenda outside of just random information. 500 people attended today. Parang ganyan. We had a problem with the sound system po. Parang ganyan. I mean, these are all parang yeah. Parang ganyan, di ba? But if you want to engage the souls of your staff, give them something to chew on. Give them something to deal with. Give them a problem to solve. Give them something that their world that will allow them to bring up their resources or energy, something to be excited about. So what I would encourage is when you're creating the meeting for the first time, you explain why, right? Every so often, you find opportunities to repeat why. If you were here in the staff meeting with Pastor Steve, that's a meeting, he preached on Matthew 28. I mean, all of us can preach Matthew 28 with our eyes closed. All of us. That's why you're here. Matthew, we all live on Matthew 28. But our founder preaches Matthew 28. Why is he doing that? Absolute redundancy. He's preaching to the choir. Same old warring strokes. So we never forget why we're doing what we're doing. I mean, if you think about it, it's probably one of the most redundant things you can ever talk about. But he does it because he understands vision leaks. He understands somewhere in here somebody's going to forget. You know, something to think about. Okay, so, but in terms of agenda, you know, I would encourage you to have a little bit of foresight when you're planning. Okay, this week, here's the things we're going to be talking about. Here are the regular things we're going to talk about. Here are the unique things this month or, you know, this week that needs to be brought up. So based on that, you can plan, okay? Remember this. If the meeting isn't important enough to prepare for, if the meeting isn't important enough to prepare for, it probably isn't important enough to attend. Disconnect. If the meeting isn't important enough to prepare for, it probably is not important enough to attend. The solution to an unproductive meeting sometimes is to cancel the meeting. Then don't resume the meeting until you brought the reason why back in. You brought the objective of what will bring it value back in. If you need to take a moment and do a retreat to find the reason why, I mean, go do it. Give everybody the time to, you know, all right, this week we're not holding a staff meeting. Why? I need to soul search and remember why. Okay lang yun. Better to do that instead of wasting everybody's time going through the motions when there's no value in the meeting. Okay, so eliminating meetings require a shift in how you lead. Generally, leaders who micromanage want to vet every decision, every option, okay? And thus, because of that, they need to be in every meeting, okay? Those who lead big teams understand they cannot be in every meeting. Those who want to lead big teams, even though your team is currently small, would benefit from this concept. Okay, if you know your future, your goal is to have a big team, then the way to do that is to act like you have a big team and live as if you don't have to be in, you cannot be in every meeting. Which allows you to really prioritize the meetings that matter the most, put value in the limited time you have, and make the most of the meetings you do have when you have it. Okay? So that's the idea of purpose. Second one, participants. In order for you to qualify why we are meeting, you need to think about who we is. Why are we meeting? Who's we? Who's we? Okay? Don't assume just because you need to meet about something that that means everyone on your staff has to be in that meeting all the time. When it comes to meetings, here's a principle, and this is I'm channeling Joey Bonifacio today. Small is big, and less is more. When it comes to meetings, small is big, and less is more. Invite the smallest possible number of people honestly required to get the objective done. Remember, adding more people to a recurring meeting when necessary is always easy. Diba? parang this particular meeting, invite natin yung volunteer worship leader this particular week to the meeting because we need to talk about the worship team. Okay. To bitaw. Okay? It's always easier to add people to the meeting than it is to remove people from a meeting. Kapag nasanay na yung tao mag-attend sa meeting nyo, after a while, oh, bakit nga ulit nakaupo dyan yung taong yan? Anong ginagawa niya? Nakikikape. Di ba? Yung parang ganun. So, when thinking about inviting somebody to a meeting, remember, when in doubt, when you're not sure whether they should be there or not, don't invite them. When you're not sure what contribution that person's gonna bring to the discussion, don't invite them. It's always easier to cascade a decision or a discussion to somebody that's not there than to waste another person's time and maybe even clutter the efficiency and effectiveness of the meeting because there's somebody there who's not engaged or has a different agenda. Okay? Think about that. So who needs to be there? I always think about it from three thoughts. There are three groups of people that I think about when I think, okay, who needs to be invited to the meeting that I'm going to run? Some of them are insiders, meaning these are the people who know information I don't, that I need in the meeting. I'm going to talk about, you know, budget. I don't have the budget numbers. Who does? I don't have the finances. Who does? That person has to be in the meeting. We're going to make a decision for the kids' church. I don't know what's going on in kids' church every week. Who does? Invite the person who can represent that group to that meeting. Okay? Executors. These are the people who will actually take charge of doing what we talked about in the meeting. Sometimes we hold meetings with pastors, but none of the pastors will actually do the work. It's actually an admin who was not in the meeting. And what ends up happening is somebody's assigned to tell the admin's given a task with no concept of why, with no context of what the rationale behind the decision is, just a task. So, how excited is the admin in doing the job? Wala. Because they were not there. They couldn't buy in to the decision. And finally, stakeholders. These are the people who need to weigh in on the decision. Okay? Because this decision will impact their future or their operations. Okay? Who has a say on the topic? Meaning, who needs to be heard before this decision gets made? Before this plan is put into action? These are the people you think through when you're planning the table and going, okay, we need to talk about this. We're going to plan out the new office space for our new facility. Who needs to be in that meeting? You come through this list, you invite the people as it relates. Diba? So that's how you do that. So that's participants. Finally, practices. Here are a few things when holding meetings that I found, you know, as we set the purpose and parameters for the meeting. Remember, purpose will always dictate the form. Okay? The purpose will always dictate the form. So, remember, time is money, time is power. So, always learn to start your meetings and end your meetings on time. Okay? Part of setting agenda will tell you if you have enough time for all of the things you need to talk about. That's why you need to think through the agenda even though it's routine. Okay? Because if this conversation will take 20 minutes, this conversation will take 25 minutes, this conversation will take 15 minutes, 20, 25, 15, that's already an hour. Wala pa yung three other items on the agenda. Hey, 1 hour meeting lang. That gives you the chance to evaluate, okay, wait, it's a 1 hour meeting. What are the most important agenda items that have to go into this 1 hour meeting? What can be a meeting outside of this? What does not have to be a meeting? Okay, so always remember, you're dealing with people's time. Actually, think about it. You hold the leaders' convergence. 100 leaders show up. And there's nothing new presented. Why did you meet? Eh, kasi we have to meet with our leaders once a quarter. Okay? Now, especially when you're dealing with volunteers, time is money. I need you to understand, they are paying you. You know, when I go to a restaurant, I put money in, I get product out. When I'm a volunteer, I put my time in to serve you. Can you imagine that? The volunteer system is the other way around. I put my money in, which is my time, my talents, and sometimes really my money, because I do travel, I do have expenses to get to you, to do what you're wanting to do. I'm paying you to do what you want to do. It's a volunteer mindset. That's the truth of it. And if it's no value, at a certain point, hintayin ko na lang yung podcast, pareho lang naman. Hindi na mag-attend. No more value to the meeting. Always remember, okay, time is money. It matters. You don't just randomly call a meeting just because we always call a meeting. There's no point to it. Always put the value up front. And make sure it's worth the time, worth the resource. Yes, Sam? Yeah, again, he's asking how effective, how much time is effective for running a meeting. The rule of thumb I remember as a trainer is the mind can only absorb what the bottom can endure. Okay? What I will say is purpose will dictate the meeting. So if it's a discussion, and it's a good heated discussion, then, you know, we 1.5 hours na tuloy-tuloy. Minsan kasi when you do 40 minutes na discussion, so you stop, painit pa lang yung usapan, then you stop for a break. Hindi siya effective. So normally, around 1.5 hours, so minsan 2 hours, you know, yung parang pasok pa na eh. Now everybody's engaged, everybody's debating. You don't want to stop that. Diba? So, but the purpose of that one is to deliberate, to discuss, to brainstorm, you know, to make strategic decisions. Then you give it the amount of time. Diba? If it's information download, guys, after 20 minutes, wala na. I mean, how much can you absorb? How much new information can you absorb? That's why in a teaching class, let's say Foundation for Victory, when you teach Foundation for Victory, it's 20 minutes teaching, sana. So that you give them time for interaction. Why? Because you're breaking. The truth is the brain can only absorb oh so much. Diba? So you think about those things. Why can people sit down and watch a movie for 2 hours or movie marathon or series marathon? Okay? Because at the end of the day, that's all amusement. Your brain is shut off. Drone. It's emotional more than it is involving of the brain. Right? So, you have to be aware of that. Okay? But even that one, di ba yung nagsi-CR break sa movie, parang ganon. So, those are actually things that you need to consider. Okay, so, practical. I've learned, because nga people get distracted and forget why, apply the no technology, no distractions rule. I find it generally takes around 10 to 15 minutes to get everybody fully engaged in the beginning of the meeting. You know, very rarely do I have a situation where everybody's ready to dive right in. Normally, there's pleasantries, there's jokes, there's conversation, and then you kind of gather everybody together, and then, all right, guys, may ganon. It takes me around 15 minutes to regather everybody. Think about that. Because the moment you let go, you're going to have to do that again. You guys know it. When you do a break between classes, di ba? When they come back, the first 5 minutes, kailangan mo ibalik yan. Parang, all right, everybody. And you have to get everybody zoned back in. It's the same thing with your meetings. One text, kukunin ko lang muna to, ah. Kahit anong sabihin mo, distracted na yung iba. One person starts looking at the phone, all of you start looking for your phone. That's how powerful the need to know today is. The allure that if I don't look at my phone and don't go online within an hour, I might miss something important is to us. So it's always great. In my meetings, no laptops. Even though that's what they use to take minutes. Everybody's on a notebook. I mean, if you have a tweetable tweet that you want to tweet from something I said, write it down and tweet it after the meeting. Ganun talaga. The only one allowed to go online is the one that I said, okay, go online because we're going to need to research this one. But other than that, nobody's online. Nobody's on a phone. Everybody's back to pen and paper. It's been helpful for us. Okay? One last thought. You want me to report on what again right now? Okay? When you know you have an agenda for this meeting, by the time this meeting's done, we want to be able to do this, then that means you have an expectation for certain people in your meeting to be able to have information. Make sure you communicate that to them before the meeting so they're not scrambling to have the information for you at the meeting. Give them the time to succeed. Give them the time to prepare so that when they're in your meeting, they can give you the information that you're looking for. Okay? So, let's say, campus director, okay? We're going to talk about the 6 campuses that we are not reaching out to right now. I'll give you 2 weeks to do the research, find out how many people, I guess. Okay, so that when we come together, we're going to strategize how to reach 6 campuses. You'll be the one to make a presentation each one. Okay? Hindi yung bibiglain mo. Bro, I felt like we need to pray for the 6 campuses. Tell us nga about the 6 campuses. Anim po sila. Okay, ano sila? Wala, talo. Diba? So, unproductive meeting kasi you're already there. So, always remember to prepare people in advance, especially if you need information. Okay, next question. What's my part? Let me break this thought down. A key job of the leader is to keep bringing people back to the issue and stick to what we're trying to do. And so, roles. Here are a few key roles. In every meeting, I need to be crystal clear on who these 4 people are. In every meeting. There are meetings that I'm leading that I am not the decision maker. Let's say when I run the conference for Ignite, I am not the decision maker. Joseph is, as the national director for Every Nation Campus. But I'm the one running the meeting. So I'm aware when it's something that needs to be decided and it's not me, I know who needs to make the decision. I know the decisions I can make and I know the decisions I cannot make because it's not my decision to make. Does that make sense? As a senior pastor, most of these decisions will be you. But once in a while, there's going to be a decision that is not you. That will involve the regional clusters that you're a part of. That will involve John Naron or Bishop Jure. Right? Sometimes it's going to involve somebody not in your current team. You just need to be aware of that on the very front. Next, meeting facilitator. Okay? Sometimes the leader is not the best person to run the meeting. Okay? Pastor Joey and I have a great working relationship. Through the years, we've learned that when it comes to meetings, he starts a meeting with an agenda and a decision. And he will spend most of his time trying to convince everybody in the meeting that his idea and his suggestion is the one to go with. Okay? And through the years, we found na, kasi ganun talaga siya. I mean, he's adamant. He's an activator individualization. So he's going to sell you on his idea. Okay? But if we want a discussion, if we want deliberation, if we want brainstorming, he says, and this is Pastor Joey in his own words, I tend to railroad the meeting. So I'm not the best at doing discussions. So when it's a meeting that requires brainstorming, discussions, people to think and talk about it, he asks me to run the meeting. He's going to start it off and he's going to say, all right, guys, we're gathered today here because we're going to talk about how to do this, I guess. All right, Carlos, what do we do? Ganon. I end up taking over and facilitating the time, facilitating the discussion, making sure people are heard, making sure people have an opportunity to participate in the discussion. That's facilitating the meeting. Okay? Sometimes, if even though you're the senior pastor, it does not mean to say you're necessarily the best person to facilitate a meeting. It just isn't. And it takes a lot of humility and a lot of grace on you as a senior leader to just be able to empower somebody else to run the meeting for you. You're sitting down as a participant and going, all right, good. All right, we got to move on. We'll decide on that. Great, next. And you're the decision maker, but you're not the facilitator. Now, sometimes you can be both. Decide that. Okay? If you're the leader and you're the facilitator, pwede naman. Always just, let me just give you a tip. Remember this. When it comes to discussions, if you are the senior pastor and decision maker, and you're the one facilitating a meeting, you need to be the last one to answer the question. If you want to hear the opinions of your staff without edit, do not give your opinion first. You've all seen this in victory groups, right? Warm-up question. The first person who answers talks about job. The next one who answers will also talk about job. Very rarely will somebody break the cycle. Kasi nakikibagay sila sa sagot. Do somebody's idea makes somebody else think of a similar idea. That's just the way it works. If you're the leader and you already answer the question before everybody else, everybody will agree with you. Now, once in a blue moon, you'll have a staff member brave enough to disagree with you. But that's rare. Okay? So my recommendation is hold off your own opinions until you've heard the true opinions of your staff. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's next two topics, timekeeper and minutes keeper. Okay, what's a timekeeper? That's the one actually clocking the time. It's a one-hour meeting. That means we're spending 10 minutes on this, 10 minutes on that, 15 minutes on this. This is the person who's telling the person facilitating, we need to move forward. Are you willing to spend 5 more minutes on this topic or should we close this topic now? That's the one who helps you with that. Okay, sometimes you can do that by yourself. You clock the time, you set a timer. See, Pastor Ariel does this. He actually sets a clock and goes, all right, guy, you're going to present now. All right, Jason, ready? Present, go. And he just puts a time there. Nag-oras. And then at a certain point, tutunog na yung alarm. Okay, all right, bro, thank you. All right, next. Sometimes you can do it that way. For me, lalo na for discussions, it's a bit na-jolting. So I have a person telling me, Pastor Carlos, medyo 20 minutes na po tayo on this topic. Do you want to keep going or should we change, make a decision na? Ganon. Okay? Kasi kung usapan lang na usapan, kahit gano'ng katagal, pwede yun. Yung oras yung hindi pwede tumagal. And finally, minutes keeper. This is probably the most important one. That all of this can be you, this cannot be you. Always make sure you go into a meeting, there's somebody there whose main job is to write down what you agreed upon. Okay? The job of the minutes keeper is to make sure the decisions made in meetings are documented in writing. Okay? Very, very important. The next question I'm going to tackle with you will detail that further. But right now, think about it. Sino yung mga tao na to sa mundo nyo? All right, actually, take a moment right now before we go on. Try to fit. Think of your regular tactical meeting, your weekly meeting, or the meetings that you normally run. Baka you have a meeting with pastors, you have a meeting with admin. Try to fill this up. So, most probably, kayo decision maker for most of that. Done. Sino yung best meeting facilitator? Maybe it's you right now. Okay. Maybe it's not you. If you have an option for somebody else, could you take a moment and just write that person's name just so that it's helping you challenge yourself to think outside your current box? Okay. Next, who is the best person to help you keep time? Maybe right now it's you. You're very disciplined ka sa ganyan. Maybe ikaw yung madalas nagta-tangent or you get so emotional about topics, you forget the time. I'm like that. So because of me, that, I need somebody tracking the time for me. Okay? So if you have somebody there in your staff right now who can do that for you, write that person's name down. It'll help. And finally, who's the best person to track the minutes of your meeting? Okay? Those are the most important people you need to always have clearly identified in your meetings. Okay? Next, your main responsibilities. If you're going to lead your meeting, you need to remember, why am I here? Why am I here? What is my part here? If you're the leader of the meeting, then you're here to do two specific things. We don't expect you to be the smartest person in the room. We don't expect you to have all the answers. We don't expect you to make all the decisions on your own. What we do expect on you, though, is that you communicate the purpose, the value, the scope, and the objective of the meeting. Only you can do that. If you don't do that, nobody else will. And nobody else can. You are the only one. They say, only do what only you can do. You are the only one in that meeting who can do this. If you're the leader of the meeting, you are the one who needs to speak that. Okay? And the second thing I said that only you can do is in order for you to create a meeting environment that will allow people to speak, feel valued, okay, be able to contribute their best, then you need to be the first person to set the example by setting vulnerability-based trust. That's a concept by Patrick Lencioni in The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, talking about the idea of being the first one to expose your weaknesses and allow people to see that, you know, I'm human. And you're the first one to apologize. You're the first one to say, I don't know that. All right, what do we do? What do you think? And, you know, you're the one learning. You're the one in the position of service. It's when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. That's what cultivates this into your staff. If you come across as unapproachable, hindi ka makorek, you're always right, you will never get ideas from your team. Your team will never be able to contribute their best. Eh, kahit naman ang sabihin ko is, yung opinion naman niya yung nasusunod eh. Diba? They'll stop giving you opinions. If the only one you listen to is yourself, eventually, nobody, you're gonna get surrounded by yes men. People who will always just say yes to you. Or the people who have opposing opinions will leave. To look for a leader who is willing to value their contribution. Not to say that you make decisions based on who's loudest or no, but you create this environment where teams feel valued. Okay? Okay. Finally, clarity. Your main job is to provide clarity. Yeah.
Hello. You said before that if you are not if the leader has another facilitator in the meeting, so the facilitator should help in that cultivating a vulnerability, for example, healthy conflict. So we should train also our facilitators to do that.
Definitely. But at the end of the day, even if a person facilitates kasi, when somebody says something weird or somebody says something, let's say conflict na, medyo disagree, somebody disagrees with somebody's strong opinion, let's say he's saying something, Sam's saying something, and then Alex is saying something and it's not the same, you know what will happen? Even if the facilitator is on the stage, they're all going to look to the leader. They're not going to look to the facilitator, uy, ayusin mo to. They're going to look to the leader and go, what are you going to do about it? Everybody knows it's still the leader. A person can facilitate all you want, but it's a leader that everybody looks to and follows. And so what I will say is a facilitator helps, and it's important that if you're going to assign anybody to facilitate, they need to be in the same page with you. Okay, this is what I need you to do. Okay? Kung meeting facilitator mo may sariling agenda, talo. Okay? That will never work. Okay? That person has to work with you as the leader. If the meeting facilitator has his own agenda, let him hold his own meeting. Okay? But if it's your meeting, you have an agenda. Your meeting facilitator helps you to get there. That's all it is. But at the end of the day, you're the one everybody will look to for leadership. It's your example they will follow. It's your example that they will mimic. Okay, so always remember that. So,
Mr. Carlos, I would like to ask. Kanina kasi na mentioned mo about, you know, yung they look at the leader, you know. How would you manage if, just in case, ng ano, the meeting kasama yung wife, and then somebody opposes your opinion? So
sounds familiar. Don't expose the real leader. don't. let's not let people really understand the truth of our home situation. Let's have some semblance of kunwari tayo in charge, di ba? Yung ganun.
Kasi there are some, ano, there are some cases. I believe kailangan natin tumarinig, ano, pastors. There are some leaders that we have in the middle of the meeting. They're going to oppose you, and it's really offending to the wife. So how would you manage that?
Two things. One, if my wife is being paid because she's staff, then walang personalan po, trabaho lang, right? And I need my wife. If there was a season, kasi Belle worked in the office here. She was Pastor Steve's assistant. Okay, my first cousin works in my department, Eunice. My sister works for Pastor Ferdy. Okay, so relationally, the Antonios have taken over upstairs. Okay, so, but two things, you know. When we talk about sensitive matters that involve my sister, for example, to the degree that I can keep objectivity, and I'm in the room not as her brother. I'm in the room as the director, and I have a job. Okay, now, when times are, and I appreciate the leadership for making the distinction for me, there are some topics, they just don't involve me. Salary discussions. I'm just outside the conversation because I will not be able to have objectivity. So I'm outside the topic. Now, in your context, if the pastor's wife is a volunteer, okay, and there's this weird, unique scenario where obviously pastor's wives are volunteers, but they also go through training with us. They do play a role in the leadership and life of the church, okay? But it's not automatic that if your wife kasi is the senior pastor's wife, that means she's the senior most mature female in the church. That's not an automatic situation. She has to grow her calling, her life, and her ministry to that level. And that is a high pressure on the wife. And because of that, it is expected for her to have a level of maturity to be able to take hits like us. I mean, people can oppose us, can criticize us, and we just know it's part of the job. You know, you stand up in front, eventually somebody's going to throw a tomato at you. It's just how it works. And if it's a situation with my own wife, then I do sit my wife down and I go, all right, lovey, we're going to hear stuff, some of it very personal for us. And I need us to make a distinction. This is work. If we have situations in the house, then that's in the house as husband and wife. But as the senior pastor's wife, you will have influence. You do not have authority. You do not have position. But you will have influence. And when you speak, I speak. And so I need your partnership. I can't have you defend me when I am not trying to defend myself. Parang, but that's a husband-wife conversation that happens outside the meeting. If I know the variable I cannot control, I'll be honest, if I know the variable I cannot control is my wife, then she is one of the people not in the meeting. Does that make sense? I'm sure the complexity of the situation, because almost always in a provincial church situation, the pastor's wife is the main person involved either in kids' church or in worship or in finance. Almost always it's one of these three big boxes. And that's huge. But if you want to grow, you're going to have to cross that conversation as soon as possible, because that is not professional. That now is a personality-based environment. It's politics na. I'd be very careful. I'd be very careful. Because people know. You know how people know you play favorites with children? You can see that. Uy, yun yung paborito. You can see that with staff. You know, the truth is people talk about it. They know. They know the real politics. They know the real culture in your office. Ako, if you have a situation like that, I would encourage you to have external eyes look in and give your recommendation, because it can't be answered by a generic answer like what I'm giving. But what I will say is, you're the one as a leader who sets the table. If a conversation needs to happen outside the table with individuals before the table is convened, you need to lead and have those conversations before the table convenes. Does that make sense? It's like my daughters. O, kakain na tayo, madumi yung kamay. Okay, wait. Hindi pa tayo makakain. Let me help you wash your hand. And then I get you to sit back down. Okay? Ngayon na maayos na tayo lahat, game. Let's pray together. Let's eat together. Right? Now, the analogy of washing hands is like that. If you know we're going to talk about this, let's say we're adding a new venue. And the person everybody thinks will be the next person to lead that venue is not the person you and your regional leaders decided on. There's going to be a lot of emotions, a lot of mamashak si person X. Pag in-announce mo in this meeting where you're going to announce it, na hindi siya. Okay? What do? Be a leader. Talk to the person involved before the meeting. Deal with the blow-up concerns, emotions outside the meeting. So that by the time the meeting happens, the person's ready. If the person's not yet ready, then don't call the meeting yet. Mapapahiya lang yung tao, and you're just going to put yourself in a situation where you knowingly walked into a minefield. Even if that's your wife. So, I don't know if I answered that as clearly as I could have. Okay? We all deal with this. And because our world is, we value family, and all of our wives, we want them engaged and involved, we're going to deal with this. But it's important in our heads, we distinguish one from the other. As we. Yeah, maybe on the mic, Pastor Louis, para ano.
This is a totally different.
Sure.
It's not a sundot from what he said, but I think this is an issue for every church planter, especially when we talk about hiring and staffing.
Mm-hmm.
We can only hire a person or a set of people depending on our resources. So sometimes the first person that will be coming on board sayo is not really that adequate, pero he's available.
Yes.
He's okay to be paid like.
Yes.
So after 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you have a staff of some are really highly functional, some are hindi. Ano? And so the question is, in a ministry, in a local ministry that is hindi lahat are activators or people who executors.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? So lack of execution. Magaling sa brainstorming, magaling sa ideas, but the execution, that's one. First question. The second question is, nakikita ko po yung importance of the leader moving one project from doing and done. So, importante po yun. Now, what if the leader himself is not an executioner? Tawag po ng executioner. Hindi po siya magaling sa executioner. So, he's not the executioner. And what is the do we need to hire an administrator, a church admin? What? Medyo ang daming tanong. What is the...
All right. So, let me put a pin on that question. Let me finish this last thought. And then let me go back to that question. Okay? Because that's a big hiring discussion. And it's an important one. Everybody get the question. Okay? Let me just close this thought on the second question para we could... answer that question and take a break. Okay, we talked about roles, responsibilities. So here the question is, why were you invited? If you were not the leader of the meeting and you were just invited to the meeting, or you are inviting people into the meeting, you need to clarify to them why they're there. And there's three reasons why they're there. They will meet one of these three criteria. They're there to weigh in. Meaning, you cannot make the decision or make the plan without their input. Their input is part of the weight that you will put to the decision. Okay? Weigh in. The next one is to buy in. Maybe their opinion doesn't matter. You've decided. but you need them to agree. You need them to run with you. You need them on the same page with you. So that's why they need to be in that meeting. Others is to lean in. Meaning, they're neither part of the decision-making, they don't need to input into it. They're not part of the executing group, they don't need to buy into it. But their lives will be affected by the adjustment or the decision or the plan by some way. So they need to be aware of it. So that's a lean in. Fly on the wall. Nakikinig lang po. Because it'll affect their world in their own way. Okay? So when you call a person to the meeting, you're telling that person, okay, Rui, I'm inviting you to this meeting. Okay, Pastor Louie and I are going to be talking about, let's say, we're going to talk about the hiring situation here. Now, I need you to understand, okay, we're there because I'm mentoring you. I don't want you to speak. You don't have the right to speak into the situation, okay? So do not weigh in. And obviously, you have no buy-in in it because you're not part of the discussion anyway. You're there to lean in. It's a chance for you to hear the conversation and see how senior leaders talk. Okay? I need you to know that. So don't go telling, let's say, don't go telling Pastor Louie what to do. Okay? Whose job is that? That's mine. As the leader who called the meeting. I need to tell them. So, let's say, pastor's meeting, dadaling ko si admin. Okay, admin, ito yung trabaho mo, okay? I need you to take minutes at the meeting. Okay? If we ask you for your opinion, sabihin mo. Okay? But kung hindi ka namin katawagan, kung hindi ka namin tatanong, huwag kang magtaas ng kamay, ha? Labas ka sa usapan dito. Yung ganun. Why is that? It sounds harsh, but it's not. It's harsh when you cut somebody off. You're saying, bro, wala ka sa usapan na to. It's harsh in the meeting. You tell them that on the beginning. The expectation. You know, you tell them, bro, we're bringing you in here. We want to hear your opinion. Oh, wow. Okay. Ito yung topic, bro. Paghandaan mo na. We want your opinion. Or, bro, I just need you to learn the process of how we pastors study the word. Okay, if we ask you for your opinion, tell us. Those are important, and you need to be able to do that. Clear? Some of us, we just assume kasi people get why they're there. Eh. Never assume that. Your job is to clarify. Okay? And finally, a few reminders before we answer that question and take a break. You need to personally stay engaged, and remember, your people will easily get distracted. So think of a way to stay engaged. Always keep calm. Remember, people's opinions matter. Even if it's a duh opinion or parang hindi talaga niya gets, yung ganon, you still need to cultivate this environment where people feel it's safe to share opinions. Sometimes some of these duh opinions are actually innovation in disguise. You just don't know it. It's just you're so close-minded to one way that you didn't hear the gem of the idea behind the other opinion. Okay? And please take your own notes. Now, I saw this. I don't know how many of you do this. Okay? I have a question. For those of you who actually take pictures of slides, what do you do with it? Does it end up napupuno lang telepono niyo, so dinidelete niyo na lang siya afterwards kasi hindi naman talaga na siya napupunta sa something meaningful or useful? Okay? I've found, again, the most effective tool is a pen and a paper. I write things down. It helps me remember. The brain registers more when you use a pen and a paper than when you type. It's interesting. Studies have already proven this. So, a picture, tack, okay, good on. After that, what do you do with it? You Instagram it? What do you do with it? Does it go, does it turn into work? Does it help you with your preaching notes? I mean, what do you do with it? Okay, so, sorry, it's a pet peeve of mine. All right, we're going to take a break, but right before the break, to answer Pastor Louis' question, when we consulted with, her name is, what's her name? Colleen Davila Palagana. She is the sister of Karen Davila. She is the head regional, what is she? She's one of the regional leaders for World Vision. We consulted with her the development of Real Life, right? When we were transitioning Real Life from ENLI scholarships to the foundation. We wanted to learn. Okay, so David Bonifacio and I were there. she gave us a principle that I never forgot. She said, Carlos, three thoughts. He goes, and when it comes to nonprofits, when it comes to nonprofit organizations, because of your limited resources, you need to remember this. At the end of the day, every nonprofit's output, end product, is a person. Okay? It's always a person. Now, sabi niya, when you're building a team, there are two extremes. And the pendulum swings from one side of the extreme to the other. On one side of the extreme are the heart people. These are the people who normally are the ones who help you entrepreneurially plant. All heart, passion, excitement. You know, that's how babies are born, through passion and excitement. Okay? All heart. And it's great. You need heart, right? But as time progresses and organizations move from entrepreneurial dating and it births into a marriage and a baby, it now needs to start building the routines of a family. Or in from a mom and pop store, it now needs to start becoming more organized, more professional if it's going to succeed to be something bigger than just that. In which case now, the concern becomes about skill. And for this discussion, lang, we're just going to draw the idea of light bulb, lang, because I can't draw a hand. I failed architecture. Okay, so I'm lousy at drawing. So the idea of skill. Sabi niya, most nonprofits, an entrepreneurial church planting stage, for example, starts all heart. The people that build the team are all heart. First few people hired into the team, heart. Heart. That's the one, I'm willing to work on less. I mean, it's all heart. Okay? But as you grow, you realize, hindi siya pwede all heart. You need skill. And she says, most nonprofits die when they make the shift. Because they now transition on an overemphasis on the need for skill. Okay? Kailangan marunong naman mag-Excel formula. Hindi na pwede yung calculator lang. Yung parang ganun na yung inisip mo. So, atat na atat ka na to hire somebody na may Excel skills. Diba? Then your current finance officer na hanggang ngayon, calculator at papel. Okay? Yung ganun. So, sabi, oh, do you find your first Excel expert who's willing to work for you? You hire that person. The most nonprofits die when the group is overrun by people with all skill and no heart. So sabi niya, she's been studying Victory. She goes to the fort here. She goes, you guys are amazing because you have a pool of people with both heart and skill. And sabi niya, that middle part here where the people have the mission heart but have the skill, professional skill of excellence to stand before kings. That's where you want to stay. And that's where you want to be. Okay? So don't make the mistake of prioritizing skill over heart. It's important to have skill. But skills can be learned, heart cannot. Okay? Heart cannot. Now, that said, some of the people who have all heart in your organization, let's say right now, when you started, first gear yung organization nyo. Dahil first gear yung organization nyo, lahat ng tao kayang tumakbo. Right? Everybody's able to pace with the organization. It's on first gear. Organization starts to grow, move to second gear. Second gear, guess what starts to happen? Not everybody can keep up. Do they have the heart? Yes. But they can no longer keep to the pace of the organization. Then you have to deal with the tough discussions. What do you do with the people who cannot keep up? What if you move? Because if you try to stay with the people who cannot keep up, then you're stuck at second gear. You need to shift to third gear because like all engines, at a certain point, God will bring the growth and you're going to hear the engine go because you know you've hit your revving limit and the only way for you to take the next level is to shift again. Right? Shift again. People who can't keep pace on second gear will not be able to keep up. So in driving, we press the shift. to move the gears. In leadership, you need to press the shift. Press the shift. That's what puts the strain off of the gear, allows the necessary to reposition the right people where they need to be so that you can now move to the next level. Okay? As an organization, we've grown from 4,000 to 75,000 here in Manila over a period of 10 years. The number of shifts we had to make, both on manpower and structure, was wild. At a certain point, we stopped writing job descriptions kasi next month, iba na. Ganun. Tatawa na kami. Nagririgod doon yung mga upuan. Okay? People who used to be in top leadership roles right now are now functioning not in top leadership roles. You know, and what do you do with that? The nice thing is we live in an organization whose goal is not to be the top. We are part of a body. And what you don't ever want to be is a foot trying to be an eye. You don't ever want to be, you know, if you're the heart, don't be the hand. The truth is, somebody in your staff who cannot keep up with the growth is just most probably in the wrong spot. Because of the limited staff, had to carry bigger weight than his calling and his gifting, and it worked for the season. Like a baby in small form, as it starts to grow, more cells come and it takes over that spot. And you now do the necessary work of positioning that person in his best functioning spot. You deal with the ego, because sometimes it is ego, but if you stand before God, God, serve. The goal is not to get to the top. It's a race to the bottom. The greatest in the kingdom is a servant of all. It's a race to the bottom. And if you lead your staff right and help them keep their heart of service, when you move their roles and they don't become the top guy now, they're no longer the department head, they're no longer the lead pastor, you move them to the role that fits them better. If you're doing this in the right culture, in the right environment, with the right spirit, they will shift gladly. Because everybody wants to fulfill God's call over their life. And when you're doing something not in the call of God over your life, you will feel the lack of grace. If we all see in the leadership that this person's no longer moving in his or her grace, then we have a responsibility to press the shift button, to press the gear. It slows us down a little bit, like every shifting does. Right? So, that's how it works. But isn't it great that we live in an organization that values even the smallest among us? You never lose your spot with Christ, eh? So, what's wrong if God repositions me to something else? And you need to be able to cultivate that kind of environment in your team. That's the culture you set in your meetings. If you're the first one to be that, if you communicate that, it will be easier for them to communicate that. If they see you as a leader being the first one, not grappling for position, but you're the first one giving it away, yung pastor ko nga, ayaw nga niya siya yung ano, eh, parang willing naman siya na. Siya yung, di ba yung, if you show that example, this is someone serving, then that will cascade in the rest of your team. Okay? So, I don't know if that answered it, but I hope that was helpful. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish this topic. And